Hi everyone, welcome back. I'm Tony Chen, and this is Fish and Bits, a business and data podcast on the world of seafood. This week, I want to discuss some of the news that's been developing in the salmon farming industry, focused specifically on the Icelandic market. The Iceland industry has by percentage been the fastest growing salmon farming sector in the world, and that growth hasn't gone unnoticed. Seeing the potential, existing global salmon companies like Mowi and SalMar have backed companies that operate in the country. Conversely, this growth has also gotten the attention of activists who oppose salmon farming. World-renowned Icelandic singer-songwriter Björk and clothing giants like Patagonia have both launched campaigns against the industry. And in these last few months, a combination of different biological challenges that include sea lice and escape issues have put the industry front and center. In this episode, I'm going to break down what's going on behind the challenges and how this impacts the industry moving forward. I'll cover a few different items. To start, I'll give you a brief review of salmon farming in Iceland, and specifically the growth that they've seen over the last 10 years. Next, I'll dive into the biological challenges that have made its way into the mainstream media and cast an extremely dark cloud over the industry over these last few months. And lastly, I'll discuss some of the impacts that these challenges have and what this means for the industry for the future. Let's hop in. To say Iceland's growth in farming salmon over the last 10 years is fast may be even an understatement. In 2021, the country harvested just shy of 50,000 tons. And while this is just a blip in the volumes of countries like Norway and Chile, which annually harvest over 2 million tons collectively, Iceland's growth to this level has been astronomical because in 2013, they only harvested 3,000 tons. That's almost a 1,500% growth over that time period. Compared with every other ocean-focused salmon farming market, this is 10 times more growth by percentage than the next largest jumps. Chile and Canada come in second, with just a 50% growth over that same time period. Now, I totally understand that from a volume basis, it's still really small. Iceland's growth is dwarfed by others like Norway, who added almost 400,000 more tons since 2013. But growing at these multiples is still extremely impressive. When it comes to salmon farming, there are a lot of supply chain challenges that all need to be in place for the industry to grow. Hatcheries, infrastructure, processing facilities, and a whole lot of boats all need to be available. Add in the fact that in salmon farming, it typically takes 2 years for a fish to go from an egg to a customer's dinner plate, the industry truly has scaled at an unbelievable pace. As it stands, only a small number of companies operate in the Icelandic waters, and specifically in fjords on the east and west coast of the country. And they are all backed by Norwegian global salmon companies. The big three are Arnarlax, Icefish Farm, and Arctic Fish. Arnarlax is owned by Trondheim, Norway-based SalMar. Arctic Fish is owned by Bergen, Norway-based Mowi. And Icefish Farm is owned by Floro-based Massival. The reason these companies all took substantial stakes in Iceland makes a lot of sense when you look at the growth of salmon farming. For those of you who aren't in the industry, salmon are naturally a cold water species, so geographically farms can only operate in a few regions of the world, and you currently find farms in countries like Norway, Ireland, Scotland, Chile, Tasmania, and Canada. In addition to cold waters, it's valuable to have protected fjords, an educated workforce, and transportation options to export the finished product. You would be surprised by the amount of salmon that is actually flown as part of commercial flights to make sure chefs around the world can get sushi-grade fish as soon as possible. Now, Iceland is one of the few regions in the world that has all of these requirements, and the government also recognizes the potential. In order to start a farm, companies have to apply for farming licenses, and the current scheme in Iceland supports the growth of the industry up to 100,000 tons annually. To put that in perspective, that roughly equates to $1 billion in export potential. Now, Iceland as a country only produces $7 billion in total exports each year. Salmon farming, if it continues to grow, could easily become one of the country's largest industries and support thousands of jobs. Everything seems perfectly primed for a new market. Regulators have a pathway to enable growth for the industry, and funding is actively available from large companies looking to grow. Another reason that drove a ton of interest for farming in the region has been the optimism that the environmental conditions in Iceland would be similar to that of northern Norway. The government even noted in a report back in 2021 that the lower temperatures in the waters around Iceland should help lower the risk of disease and sea lice that farmers in other countries have been fighting. Farmers overall expressed the same sentiment on those conditions. Well, unfortunately, that picture has changed quite dramatically over the last couple of years. As the country has scaled aggressively, the issues that both the industry and the regulators hoped could be avoided in Iceland have seemed to happen, and in quick succession. Let's walk through each one, disease, sea lice, and escapes, and discuss the challenge around them, as well as some of the details behind the outbreaks. First, disease, and specifically ISA that was diagnosed in Iceland in the fall of 2021. ISA, or infectious salmon anemia, and it's sometimes even referred to as the salmon flu, is a highly infectious pathogenic viral disease that causes significant mortality in fish. Since the first case was detected in Norway in 1983, every single farming country has seen an outbreak, and now Iceland has as well. For decades, other countries have constantly battled this disease. In Norway, regulations require consistent testing for the presence of the disease, and if detected, farmers immediately have to harvest their entire farm and fallow for a period afterwards. I expect that we'll see similar restrictions and protocols develop in Iceland. The next issue is sea lice, which is the most recent of the challenges to hit farms in Iceland. In the Westfjords region, both Arnarlax and Arctic fish sites have seen what has been reported as an unprecedented sea lice problem at their sites that have led to forced harvest of their fish. Now, how bad has the situation been? Well, the truth is that it does not look good at all, and let's look at some of the data behind it. Lice in small numbers don't necessarily impact large salmon, but in high quantities they definitely can. As a result, most countries in sustainability seafood certification schemes have limits for how many lice can be found on fish, and for salmon, that number is focused around 0.5 lice. In Norway, that's the legal limit for the number of adult female lice that can exist on each fish, and delicing actions are required if the number exceeds those limits. In Iceland, any account above that same limit, 0.5, requires notifying the government. In my research, I found that over these last few months, sites in the Westfjord region have been reporting extremely high sea lice counts for a number of weeks in a row. Counts were nearly 10 female lice per fish, with peaks as high as 15 lice per fish. Now, that's 30 times the legally set limit. This infestation forced the harvest of more than 1,000 metric tons of fish that needed to be culled. It seems that while this lice outbreak is unprecedented, the issue of high lice has been present at these sites for many months prior to the forced harvest. The last issue that has sparked concern is net pen escapes, which was discovered at one of the movie-backed Arctic fish sites back in August. The concern with escapes is largely twofold. One is that escapes can pose a disease risk to native populations of salmon, and second is that there is also concern over the potential issue of genetic crossbreeding with native populations of salmon. In this particular incident, the company expected that 3,500 salmon escaped. After the discovery of the escape, the typical protocols, which include bounties and efforts to capture as many of these farmed fish, was quickly enacted. Now, these issues aren't necessarily new to salmon companies who have dealt with disease, sea lice, and escapes for many years. These recent events are new for Iceland and have occurred in a manner that are more extreme than many other similar outbreaks in other regions. Many people believe that these are not the growing pains of a quickly growing industry. Now, these issues aren't necessarily new to salmon companies who have dealt with disease, sea lice, and escapes for many years. These recent events, however, are new for Iceland and have occurred in a manner that is far more extreme than similar outbreaks that we've seen in other regions. While some people believe that these are just the growing pains of a quickly scaling industry, others see these mistakes as signs of an industry that doesn't deserve the right to operate in the country. Following the escape in October, opposition to Iceland's salmon farming industry responded both swiftly and strongly. around 3,000 citizens came out to Reykjavik to protest the companies and petition the Icelandic government against the industry. For a country of less than 400,000 people, this represented almost 1% of the entire country that came out to protest. And it's not just the citizens who are protesting the growth of the industry. Here are a few other examples of the impact of these outbreaks. Large media outlets, Forbes, The Guardian, and numerous others have all reported on these cases. The escapes in August sparked the protests, but additionally, footage released over the last couple of weeks from the lice infestation at these farms have drawn additional global coverage. International pop superstars Bjork and Rosalia are launching a song where the funds of it will be used directly to support legal action against salmon farms. Another vocal voice in the space has been the activewear company Patagonia, who for years has directed campaigns specifically against Iceland's industry. So how does this develop moving forward? Well, let's take a look from both sides. On the side of opposition to salmon farmers, I would say that a lot of their concerns are rightly justified. For many years, the farming industry touted their ability to manage many of these challenges and shared a ton of optimism on how Iceland was a unique environment that would naturally help mitigate the challenges of disease and sea lice. But as the industry has grown, the reality is that these promises were not met. Instead, it sounds like another repeated story, one that has played out in other countries. Lice, disease, escapes, these are all challenges that have been seen in other farming regions. But for them to happen in larger incidents makes it look like the salmon companies have made no progress and are continuing to repeat problems that they claim to have solved. Since many of the Icelandic salmon companies are Norwegian-owned, the perception is that they should have the knowledge, experience, personnel, and budgets to ensure that these challenges are mitigated. And for the company's side, it looks like they are aware of this perception. Movie CEO Ivan Vindheim has publicly stated that we are completely honest that this company, referring to Arctic Fish, is not yet up to the movie standard. Such incidents should not happen. We have lice in every country where we farm and handle it well everywhere else. We will do that in Iceland as well, so this will not happen again. Lice have not been a problem in Iceland in the past, and I think that both Arctic Fish and the authorities were caught a little off guard. End quote. And some of this makes sense, as I discussed in my previous podcast specifically on sea lice. The infrastructure and solutions in other countries are simply not available to the same capacity as Norway. Building that infrastructure takes time, and Iceland is just outgrowing that pace right now. Movi acquired their controlling stake of Arctic Fish last January, and it's true that establishing the right protocols will take a little bit of time. But it's hard to say if the public and the government will give the industry that time. In today's world, the impact that digital media has on the public and politicians is more profound than ever. We've seen the ban of salmon farming in Washington state and the closure of farming sites in British Columbia over the last couple of years, and both of these events were driven by public protests and government responses to them. In the coming years, it'll be interesting to see how the industry develops in Iceland. Will the government choose to enact stronger regulations and further develop the industry? Or will they decide that the payoff of these farms isn't worth the headache and effort needed to maintain public support? What do you think? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Feel free to engage with us over LinkedIn or just message me directly. I'm always happy to hear feedback and discuss topics like this. And as always, if you found this episode interesting, I'd really appreciate you leaving us a review and subscribing for more content. See you next week.